10:41. Jesus answered and said unto her, Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things. Careful is meremneo. It means it's the process of the thoughts that, what's the process of thought? It's the same one that we separate into parts. But troubled is those thoughts cause you to be disquieted, internal uproar. And we saw yesterday how Jesus was troubled about many things, not many, but 6 or 7 times. And we saw that the Son of Man, he was troubled, but he didn't take action based on his trouble except to empty himself and return to oneness with God. All right, so let's look at about what's the opposite of trouble. Let's start in Matthew 6. That's the biggie. At first glance, the different, first about God and the light of the body, then God and mammon, then care and anxiety, are the when you look at them at first glance, they seem to be about 3 different things, but they're all about the same thing. So let's look at that. The light of the body is the eye. If therefore thine eye be single, thy whole body shall be full of light. But if thine eye be evil, thy whole body shall be full of darkness. If therefore that light that is in thee be darkness, hear how great is that darkness. And the word evil is poneros, and it means that which causes toil. And the only thing that can cause toil is thought. And then the second group, is God and mammon. No man can serve 2 masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. And it's the same issue. It's all about what your mind is doing in terms of serving. But then the biggie is, therefore, I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what you shall eat, or what you shall drink, nor yet for your body, what you shall put on. Is not the life more than meat or food, and the body more than raiment? And it's the obvious. Of biblical exegesis. If it talks about something of taking no thought for that which is necessary for your survival, then it's constant. That means then you can't possibly take thought for anything. And then it continues. Behold the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are you not much better than they? And which of you by taking thought can add 1 cubit unto his stature? And why take you thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow, they toil not, neither do they weep. And yet I say unto you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed as one of these, or like one of these. Therefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which is today and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? Therefore, take no thought, saying, what shall we eat? What shall we drink? Or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knoweth that you have need of all these things. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Therefore take no thought for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. When I was a little kid, I spent a lot of time small before I was about 9, I guess, is when we moved. We had a huge lake on our farm, and I would just spend hours and hours and hours down by the lake. And I kept looking at trees, and trees, they just totally blew me away, because they just sort of were there. They didn't do anything except they were just there. And then they had leaves, and then they had apples or oranges, or they didn't have oranges up there, but they had apples and pears. And they didn't do anything. They got the rain, they got the sustenance from the earth, they got something from the sun and rain, and they just stood there. They were just hanging around. And I used to think I'd love to be a tree. But isn't that what this says? That we take no thought that we be like those? I mean, you can take thought all you want. But it never does any. I mean, this is the fundamental issue. Faith is automatic, and faith is a tree. Now, this is almost impossible to believe.
Well, I might disagree on that. They very quietly do something very important. But maybe that's important too, that it's done quietly.
Sure. Well, the tree certainly has no awareness that he's doing it. The point of the whole issue is self-awareness.
Right.
And the point of the whole issue of the fall is what caused self-awareness. Nobody. You just can't believe that you can just be. You got to try to be. You got to do something. And yet, everything in the Bible tells us just to be. I mean, am I missing something here? Am I not seeing correctly? Where's Gary when I need him? Does anybody have any response to this? Take no thought.
Pretty clear.
Let's go to 2 Corinthians. Chapter 10. Now let's go to Romans first. Romans 12. I'm sorry, Justin. We're going to start in Romans 11:34. Who hath known the mind of the Lord, or who hath been his counselor? Or who has first given to him, and it shall be recompensed unto him again? For of him, and through him, and to him are all things, to whom be glory forever. Now the predicate is that Christ is in us. opens up all of the scriptures we just read in Matthew about taking no thought for anything. Now it says why here, the next verse. Because every time we take thought, we're trying to be God's counselor. If we believe that Christ is in us. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And remember that word reasonable. It's the highest thing that man can do. And the word service is the word, it's the most pristine, intimate work in the temple of God. The highest you can do is to present your body a living sacrifice. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed or transfigured by the renewing of your mind. Now the renewing of your mind comes to the point where you then finally have the mind of Christ. You let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. And the mind of Christ was total emptiness, so that there was no wall or no veil between him and the Father. And there's no in us. That's what he's calling us to do, to have no veil between him, between Christ in us and the Father. And the mind is renewed because we've seen the emptiness and futility of all of the acts of the mind. And so we, by definition, we repent, or we empty to the fullest. Now we saw what happened yesterday. When Christ was troubled, he was troubled for a moment about something that was of human nature, because he was Son of Man also. But what he didn't ever take action based on our further thought. He just was troubled, and then he went back to God. Be you transfigured by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. So that you can test, so that you know that you know that you know that Christ is in you and there is no other life. You never again return to this thing for anything. And faith then becomes as natural as breathing, and life becomes as automatic as a tree. I've said this over and over and over for 40 years. It's almost impossible to believe. Now let's see more what it says about what's to be done with our mind. 2 Corinthians chapter 10. Now again, we just read in Romans where Paul beseeched them. Now here again, now I, Paul myself, beseech you by the meekness and gentleness of Christ, who in presence am I base among you, but being absent am bold towards you. I beseech you that I may not be bold when I am present with you, when I am present with that confidence, wherewith I think to be bold against some, which think of us as if we walked according to the flesh. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. There's nothing, there's no issue, there's nothing that can happen that is against you outside of your own mind. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations, and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every single thought to the obedience of Christ. Don't you see what we do? What people do is they hear this, and we can build this case so that it is without, you can't possibly argue against it from the scriptures. But what your mind will do, it will find a way that you need to use your mind in order to justify your rebellion. And it will happen over and over and over and over again. And you'll have 1,000 excuses why you can justify taking thought. You can justify not bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. You can justify not casting down these high places. Well, I've got to do it because I've got to do this. No. There's no this that you got to do except take no thought. And in that process, empty yourself so the mind of Christ is your mind. Now let's go to 2 Corinthians 11. Would to God you could bear with me a little in my folly, and indeed bear with me. For I am jealous over you with godly jealousy, for I have espoused you to one husband, that I may present you as a chaste virgin to Christ. But I fear lest by any means, as the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, so your mind should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. Mind, Satan. You see it? That you're, as the serpent beguiled Eve, mind be corrupted. Now why? Why is all this so necessary? Why? Take no thought. Present yourself a living sacrifice. Not conform to anything of this world, so that your mind is renewed. Be careful for nothing. So this is for because, well, let's go to chapter 13. And finally, verse 5. Examine yourselves, whether you be in the faith, whether you truly be in the faith. Prove your own self. Know you not your own selves, how that Jesus Christ is in you, except you be reprobate. Now, reprobate, it isn't this some kind of drunk lying in the street or some homeless person that's just constantly on drugs. Reprobate means you're incapable of godly repentance. And you're incapable of godly repentance because, why? Because you don't know that Jesus Christ is in you. Therefore, you cannot abandon yourself completely. You cannot live as that tree or that bird or that flower. Or God uses all of the things of the vegetable kingdom, if you will, that grow automatically in his parables, whether it's wine or birds or trees. Sometimes he uses birds. Sometimes he uses ants. But it's the point of it. It's the things that live without thought. But we can't. We have to have thought. That he must mean something else. What I'm saying can't be right. Anybody have any response?
I was thinking about a corrupted mind as opposed to the simple mind or the simplicity of the mind of Christ. And a corrupted mind is one that's entangled with
one's entangled with toil, with doing something. That's porneia. That's the evil eye. There is no good.
Well, that's the point.
There's no good use of your mind.
But that's the point. If your mind is thinking what it judges as good things, then it says this must be pleasing to God. I'm thinking nice things about stuff. And I think that corruption is more subtle. And
right, something you think is good. Okay, now go to Philippians. Verse 4. Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice.
4:4.
Yeah. Everybody there? Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. Let your moderation, and should say abandonment, be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. Be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Now, this word careful just means using your thought process. It's a hard word for me to pronounce, but it's M-E-R-E-M-N-A-O. It's be careful for nothing. How many thousand things can you justify being careful? How many thousand things can you justify using your thought process? It's endless. It's either faith or no faith. There's no in between. It's either the bride or the whore. There's no in between. Your eye is single. Your whole body is full of light. But if your eye is evil, porneo, which means seeing toil, seeing thought, seeing separateness, then your whole body is full of darkness. And how great is that darkness? And the darkness is so great because you think you have light. The only thing that's keeping you from that freedom, that fullness, is a concern about something in the world. If you're concerned about anything in time and space, that means you're careful for it. That means then there's a thousand ways you will justify doing it. And your works will ever be before you. Let's close this by Revelation 14.
Can I ask an obvious question? Guess I didn't have to ask permission. On something like this about what we're studying, it seems like there's a, just to get it, you got to read it. Hear it, consider it, and then it happens, or you do it. There's some kind of process in here where
it's called repentance. It's ever and always repentance.
Abandon.
But that you can't abandon until you see that what you're doing is empty and fruitless, and And once you do, then you're poor because you're tired of making bricks without straw. So you automatically abandon, which is another word for repentance. You empty.
Yeah. Up to that point, though, you've got to consider it. I mean, there's some process of the mind.
Right. You have to look at everything until you see the futility of all.
Okay.
Until you see the futility of all, you know, then you're just walking down the street just like everybody else.
So if the mind has any value whatsoever, it's that, considering the vanity of it all.
That's the only value it has. That's what leads to repentance.
Right. Then,
But if you find yourself returning to the thing that you destroyed, then you make yourself the transgressor.
Yeah.
You can tell. Because if you have an investment in the outcome of anything, that's the cosmic tell that you have. Your eyes return to evil because you've seen toil and you want fruit of that toil. All right, listen again. Here is the patience of the saints. Here are they that keep the commandments of God. Here are they that keep the faith of Jesus Christ. So here are the patients. Here are they that keep the commandments. Here are they that keep the faith. That's a pretty important verse. And I heard a voice from heaven saying unto me, write, blessed are the dead which die in the Lord from henceforth, yea, saith the Spirit, that they may rest from their labors and their works do follow them. So the patience, the commandment, and the faith of Christ are all dependent on, I heard the voice from heaven saying, blessed are the dead which die in the Lord from henceforth, yea, saith the Spirit, they may rest from all their labors. Because they've entered into the Sabbath, which is Jesus Christ. And their works will always follow them. And then whatsoever they do in thought, in word, or in deed, they're doing heartily as unto God, which means they have no investment in the outcome. It's as simple as breathing. Except you be converted and become as that little child before self-awareness, you shall no wise enter the kingdom of God. Be careful for nothing. Take no thought of your life. And what do you do when you take thought? Can't say I'm going to continue taking thought until God hits me in the head or slams me, because that's God's never going to do it. If you continue to build that which you have already destroyed, seeing the end of this thing, then you make yourself a transgressor. It's not complicated. It's the preaching of the cross. What? Amen? Amen a little bit? Gary?
Thinking it's like I'm not going to stop being a transgressor. That would be to say I can hear this stuff and perform and do it, and then I'm okay. I quit transgressing. It's like that's all flesh does is transgress. It's wired for that. So repentance.
That's why you're dead.
Yeah, then repentance is really the only move.
Always it is. Again, remember the evil one. He's always. always trying to resurrect himself from the deadly head wound for a thousand ways. You have a judgment against somebody. Ha ha, he wins out. You need to think about something. Well, ha ha, he wins out. And automatically, he returns, loving the world. And he reigns. And he repents. Father, forgive me. You return to the rest, you wayward soul. You don't return to the weak and beggarly elements of the world for anything. This is how the first century Christians lived. And the ones that didn't or taught else something else, man, they are named by name. And they are called cancers. This is as tough as it gets, but it's the easiest thing it is once you see it. Grace, mercy, peace. Amen. Take it, big guy.